Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hi, everyone. Happy 2024. Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Helen Kontazopoulos, who co-founded Odeya. Thank you for the thumbs up. That's quite the name. Odeya is an AI-powered commercial insight SaaS platform for pharma companies. The idea for Odeya came to Helen during her time as a professor teaching at the University of Toronto. It focuses on pharmaceutical commercial teams, helping them determine what they need to know about their prescribers so that they can deliver the right message through the best channels and ultimately get their therapeutics to the patients when they need them. Welcome to the show, Helen. Thanks for joining me this morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Thank you so much, Daryl, for inviting me.
Awesome. So yeah, right out the gate, how far are we from Judgment Day?
I'm the AI person, right? Like that's what everyone asks. And I've stopped putting Terminator pictures on my slides because I was like, okay, we got to stop this.
Good reminder.
Then I started using Ex Machina. So I think that, what is it? Is it 2024, the Terminator year? Is this the year?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, this is the year, man. If anyone's a sci-fi geek out there, this was the year that it was going to happen, right? Are we, you know, it's a hard question. I'll say that because, you know, any tools that we use can always be used harshly. And we've already seen a lot of technology used really by bad people. And I think this is the same for AI. This is the same for any AR, VR, any other types of technologies that are helped and helping people that are really just not doing good. But this is why we really try to think about how to create policies, regulations, and at the end of the day, just say, hey, how are we being ethical? How are we like supporting society in a positive way? I think this is kind of, it's one of those questions I think about a lot, and it's balancing and trying to be not evil.
Well, I think this is a great way to kind of segue into what you do use AI for and what you do at your company. But before we get there, I'd love to just understand what's been your path? What's been your path going from University of Toronto to where you are today as a co-founder of Odeya? You can feel free to tell me as much or as little as you like, but how did you navigate that path to from your previous careers to now being the head of this company?
Yeah, it's been a 20-year journey.
Wow.
I think I started building my own websites and creating Black-themed websites in 1996 and 97 when I started at university at York. And I thought, you know, I was an anthropology major and I loved understanding humans and understanding what people do. I just love understanding things and coding and designing and thinking about building knowledge online was something that when you first got your first email, and it's funny because a lot of my students are born in these years now, so it's kind of making me feel really like, wow, I feel a bit old. I was editing a website for the university and starting to create, and someone came up and said, oh, you're a great marketer. And I'm like, what is that? And I remember someone saying, you should take some courses. There are some courses at night, you know, if you have some extra in that you can take, while you're doing your undergrad. And I was like, sure. I mean, this is great. I can take some electives. And I took my first marketing course. I think it was 98, 99.
Wow.
And I wrote my first marketing marketing plan in 1999, like around that time. And
wow,
it was understanding, and it was customer behavior. It was data. I remember we did a lot about data and metrics. So this was perfect. As an anthropologist, I do qualitative, I do quantitative. So I said, oh, this is my path now. I understand what I'm mm-hmm. going to do with my undergrad, aside from becoming maybe an archaeologist or an ethnographer. And I tried both, but marketing just kept on bringing me in. Fast forward, using data and understanding what people do, especially data that's coming from websites and understanding what people are using, seeing people use things in person. So again, mm-hmm. always using my background in qualitative and quantitative methodologies really formed why I do what I do. And it really kind of built me out. And I got into, I would say, more tech because I'm also a maker. Like, I love building things. And I was at OCAD in... Not as a student, but as working there. And again, looking at journeys and understanding technology and understanding people, and kind of pulled into the realm of more technology. And that's how I got pushed into University of Toronto with Steve Mann and meeting Marvin Minsky, mm-hmm. the godfather of AI, and realizing that my skill set as someone who's in tech, someone who's a marketer, someone who's in sales, kind of a Jill of all trade, kind of set me up to be the perfect person at the time to help computer science students to think in ways of building products people want to use. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess I kind of, it's not a linear, you know, it's a really messy way of getting into the path of teaching, the path of building. And when I had a colleague who was looking in research around customer journey mapping. So as marketers, we know this, right? We know this. This is ingrained in us, right? It's the understanding the perfect path toward purchase. We understand the voice of the customer, all those little points of interactions with us. I do this, like I'm, you know, the audience is listening, but you know those post-it notes.
Of course.
So he goes, what happens if you take those post-it notes? What happens if you take all that data? And I'm like, go on. Like, I'm listening to this and I'm like, yes. And he goes, what happens if we start adding machine learning? So meaning getting a smart brain to deal with all that data, because we're doing this all manually as marketers. We're taking so many data points. And we really want to understand that full picture of that customer. But what happens if we start using machine learning? It's under the umbrella of AI. Machine learning is kind of the brain. It's the reasoning part. It's predicting what people are doing. And then we can predict what people do. And I said, I won't swear, but holy, wow. Okay, this is so good.
Holy wow.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And this is like 2017. It was Christmas 2017 in the winter. And I was like, you know, the research, and there was people around me, and I said, you know what, like, turn this into a startup. Mm-hmm. I can know, it would take me back to so many times when I've had conversations with marketing teams and say, who is our customer? And I'd be like, well, we got to do research. We got to look at the data. Now it would be like, let's see what the data is saying again. But this is different. I love when you have tools in your hands, right? This is why it's powerful. So I think that feeling of power came over me and I was like, yes, I'm ready. This is great. And I think I was ready. I was teaching for a long time. I was working with a lot of startups, working on a lot of programming. And I decided in March 2018 to incorporate the company and build out a team.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, fast forward to, we're about a team of 100. We're a Series B funded company. We found a beautiful niche in needing to predict HCP behavior. That's healthcare providers, like doctors, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Prescribing behavior. So the journey of the doctor. And And understanding that journey is understanding when the therapies need to get to the patient journey, right? And the faster that can happen. And can I help marketing and sales teams to do that? It's been a crazy 20-year journey to this point. Maybe more, but I'm not counting the side years.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably count back to when you saw your first sci-fi movie to when it first released, got some of that kicking in your brain back pre-97, you know?
Yeah, I was a kid in the basement watching Doctor Who or yes. Star Wars or yeah. like Star Trek. I'm a big Trekkie fan, so it's...
You said a couple things during your path, and thank you so much for sharing. That's so interesting and definitely can relate to the different points that you take throughout your life and the decisions you make and where it leads you. I'm really curious with your experience and seeing the integration of someone who comes from a heavy marketing background and then the rise of machine learning and AI and integrating that into marketing. I'm wondering if you can make a recommendation to a lot of our listeners if they don't work for a company that can afford enterprise software or anything like that. Is there any sort of tools that you would recommend marketers use, or have you seen any tools out there that marketers could use to maybe tap into a little bit of the AI and machine learning when they're preparing their marketing strategies?
Yeah, I think before the tools, I think it's a mindset. So mm-hmm. even if your team doesn't have, or whatever team you're going to go into. So this mm-hmm. is if you're in your career now, or if you're not, you're about to go in, or you've been around for 20 years like I have, it's a mindset. I feel like it's more of a mindset before you start using the tools. And I think it's honing into really what you're good at. And it's saying, how do I find tools that amplify what I'm good at? So if I'm mm-hmm. a data geek, mm-hmm. what do I need to look at? Is it, is it all the analytics tools that you can get from, like, say, all the data you get from Mixpanel and all, mm-hmm. or am I great at coming up with different ways of words and coming up with ways of understanding language? So then should I be using Jasper, mm-hmm. and I, mm-hmm. Or should I be, I think they changed names. I can't remember, but there's like, should I be using ChatGPT or Bard? I know there's a lot of resistance to these tools, and that's where the mindset needs to change. I get a lot of like, I am so much better at grammar than this, and I totally understand, yeah. right? I totally understand there's a lot of resistance around saying I'm so much better at this and I'm so much better at that. I'm not. I'm not. And I think that's the... I feel like I feel stuck a lot of times, and a lot of I use a lot of these tools to kind of prompt me. It's funny, we always talk about prompting AI to give us answers, but I feel like it prompts me to say, here's 20 ideas. Now I go edit and I get really creative because I need the prompt these days. Like I'm yeah. really overwhelmed. So there's a lot of tools you can research, but I think I also think you should use them individually. Like, I don't think you should only wait for your company to implement. There's a lot of free resources. There's a lot of those free moments. Free months. And also, this is, I think, something you should put money into. Like, this is your professional development. If it's $50 a year, pay the $50, Absolutely. Like if it's 200, even $200, all these memberships and all these, all the things we watch movies on, like I would suggest, picking up other tools and start playing around. I also feel intimidated. Like it is a mindset. I feel very intimidated. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I wanted to build something. I wanted to create something cool. Side projects. I'm trying to do it for I still teach at the university and I'm trying to figure out how to teach better. And I'm intimidated. Mm-hmm. I'm very intimidated still, mm-hmm. like on a few tools, right? One's especially around, I want to use imagery in a different way of more 3D and more interactive. And I'm very intimidated by them. So
I feel, you know, the same. I feel the exact same way, honestly, looking at all the tools out there. I'm like, how many project management tools do I need? You know,
yeah.
I know how to use Monday. I know how to use Basecamp, but then there's like four or five new ones. Notion's out now.
I use Notion for everything. You know, and now we're doing product board. We use a lot of product board in our company. ChatGPT was one of the first. I also create a lot of, I'm an artist on the side.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah. For the last 20 years now, I'm like realizing how time passes, 25 years. And I started in 2017. I was in San Francisco and I did a workshop on, they're like, oh, we can use artificial intelligence to work on art. Right. And I was like, okay, cool. And so we worked on StyleGans. It's a type of, generative AI, and playing around. It was a mush. They look like mushes. Like they look like green mush, because then you have to train the data on these algorithms. And so I was training and downloading and putting all this data and trying to create the art that I create now. And now it's like you just put the art in and it pushes it out. Well, I had to train so many, I had to do so many hours, and I had to wait for the, I remember waiting, they're like, it'll be done in 6 hours. And I'm like, yay. And then I think it was like, I'm like, that's fast, yeah. And that was like 2018. And everyone's like, you should put them as NFTs, like a few years later. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm not sure. Like I was about to press send. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do this.
What I'm hearing though is like, it, the mindset, even for like, especially for you and what you've shared with me so far, is that the mindset behind your approach on things is number one, before you layer in your marketing experience, before you layer in the machine learning, and then you start looking at the tools, and then you look at investing in learning these tools for yourself. I really like what you said there in terms of like, if it's going to cost $50, $200 for a subscription to something that's going to be a crucial aspect of your self-development in your field, why not pay that? Because we spend $20 a month on Netflix, mindlessly. Yeah. So I really like that. And that value that we can take away from that is huge. And sometimes people just need to hear that. Your background though, with marketing and tech and AI to me is so interesting, because I feel I can ask you any questions that I've been wondering myself. The last couple of years as AI has exploded onto the scene. So I'm going to take advantage of this time with you. So what do you think is the biggest blind spot when it comes to marketing, using AI tools in marketing currently? I know that AI is going to, it's the worst it's ever going to be right now, but I see a lot of junior marketers flocking to utilizing some of these platforms like Jasper, like ChatGPT. And I've got my opinions on what blind spots are, but you are much more experienced than I in this field. And I'm wondering, just, at a glance, when you're looking at people mass adapting AI to use in marketing, what are some potential blind spots?
Yeah, I'd love to hear your opinions too.
For me, it's really just this. I think it becomes a crutch. That's my blind spot, is that like, I think that if junior marketers jump on board, without much marketing experience and other, quote unquote, real life experience working with people, they end up using this tool and not developing some of these other really important marketing muscles. Mm-hmm. So that's for me. I know it's not quite a blind spot for me. I'm like, if they use this, I've been working in this game for 20 years. I have developed all these other skills that I can fall back on. I use ChatGPT like you do to prompt me for things sometimes, but that's because I don't need to do the other work. I already have done it. Is using AI for marketing tasks currently, is there any danger to it?
I don't think it's danger. I don't know if that's the right word. I mean, I understand it. Sensitivity. I think the word I want to use is sensitivity. I think as marketers, we're very sensitive to the customer as a whole, like just understanding who they are and thinking about them all the time. And other teams in the company get it, like, you know, get it in their own way. So you'll have like sales team will think about all the messaging, you know, is this really connecting at a, you know, a buyer level. For us, we're thinking, and the product team will think of it as what is their user, like interface, like the UX part and the design part. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have all the levels of the organization. And then the marketer is thinking of them in a holistic way because you have to integrate it from the first time they see your company to the time they're out, right? So there's a sensitivity of knowledge that comes from what you have worked on, Daryl, right? You're thinking in multiple levels of understanding because you're thinking of how the customer is seen internally in the company and then externally. And the sensitivity of understanding the customer themselves, that profile we create, the persona, why we did all the research behind this person is because we're trying to really understand them. Mm-hmm. So create 10 prompts for like create 10 prompts that say for mom who has two kids who goes to soccer practice who is a busy mom, like, you know, these types of prompts that just sound so light.
Yeah.
And then you have someone who says, but I understand them.
Yes.
Like I have started going deeper into their lives, you know, not just these are their usage patterns, you know, and this is what they've done and this is what they like. I think what I've always tried to do and what we try to do at Odea is understand the why. Mm. But why are they doing these things? Why do they love the way they interact with our brand? Because you can, if you're not answering the why, you're just getting very light messages. Mm-hmm. But the why and the deeper is a sensitivity of knowledge and background.
Dare I say the human element.
Exactly.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, looking the other direction, what are you most excited for when it comes to AI and the development of AI over the next 5 years?
I have always been excited when I get a hold of something mm-hmm. and use it. Like, I love tools, and I love when the tool does what I want. You know, my mom's a seamstress.
Oh, cool.
And she came from Greece in 1960 to Canada. And she started working in factories on Spadina downtown. Now it's Chinatown. Now I don't even know if it's Chinatown, but it's really changed.
Still Chinatown.
Still Chinatown. Yeah. There's still hot pot. I still take my teams there.
Oh, great.
And I remember her always saying, and she would bring work home, right? And I would, mm-hmm. you know, help her out. I would do a lot of beading on dresses. So, and I remember her saying, if you don't have the right tools, you can't do the job. Right. If your scissors aren't sharpened, if you have like not the right sewing machine. So we have an industrial sewing machine down in the basement, you know, and she's still
at home right now.
Yeah. At home. Yeah. Oh, that's always great. Man. Like there's always, we were still working. We're an immigrant family.
Odea's team swag is top of the line.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We make all the hoodies, you know. No, that'd be funny. I was thinking about it for a second, you know, I was thinking about it. Like when we first started, I'm like, maybe I should do these things. You know, I'm like, that's just crazy, you know? but the things you think about, as an early stage founder to save some money, when you first use it, and I think that aha moment, I think when I started, you know, everybody, Canva is something I use a lot. So I started using about 2016, I think. I was mm-hmm. in Austin and I had just started using it. I have computer science students who are not marketers, who are not mm-hmm. great at building anything in design and graphic mm-hmm. design. That's not what they're trained in, right?
They're not graphic designers.
What?
They're not graphic designers.
They're not graphic designers, right? It takes a team. It takes a village, you know. And I remember saying, hey, guys, just there's a new tool out called Canva. You should start using it. It's a startup out of Australia. And I was in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest. And I meet up with Guy Kawasaki, right?
Oh, nice.
And I go up to him and I'm like, hey, Guy, right? Like, I heard you're the evangelist, a new evangelist for Canva. And he's like, yeah, I am. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. He's like, what's your name? I'm like, Helen, I'm at U of D. He's like, hey, I love Toronto. And I just remember him saying, look, can I meet up later and give you some swag? And I said, dude, I am the woman of swag. he came later, he dropped by my hotel and he dropped off a big huge package of Canva $100 Canva credits. Like I think I had 1,000 of them, even like when I was going through I know, like it was like this much, and I was just like giving them out. If anyone saw me on video now, I'd be like, you know, kind of making it rain with Canva credits. Mm-hmm. So I was giving them to everybody. I had so many hackathons happening in my lab and I was giving them out because it was a tool someone who doesn't have that tool set can use. But when you meet a designer though, like when you meet one of my designers at Odea Shiva and you know, she's a trained designer and you see how she thinks and works, you're like, wow, that's wow. Right? Like you can make something in Canva and it'll look great. But when you have a real designer who's put thought behind it and will have a discussion about a font for like a half hour or an hour, that was me yesterday with her, you know, and a few jokes, then you realize when you can take a tool to another level, right?
Yeah.
And this is why we are intimidated, but the reality is beyond intimidation, right? We got to kind of, that's my aha moment. That's what excites me is when you can get in. I love now the new integrations in tools we already use. So Figma, all of our, you know, whatever we're using to create what we're creating, but there's new added on. Do you know what I mean? Like there's new add-ons.
And yeah, I love you're seeing those, the little like, AI integration into Canva.
Exactly,
you're
yeah.
seeing the, yeah, the magic slide and, yeah.
Watch the videos, you know, like it's kind of, you know, watch the small little videos. They pop up and go, hey, do you want to learn more? I'm like, yeah, learn more. And I think that's kind of what gets really exciting is, yeah, I want to learn more, you know, because I get bored easily. So I think that's kind of where I need to keep on. My superpower is ADHD, you know, and being dyslexic and, you know. I don't see things like I can't even tell time. Like I look at a clock, I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying to me right now. Like,
yeah, that's why you work these 20-hour days. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. I mean, I literally can't read it because my number dyslexia. Yeah.
No. I get it.
So in a way, that's perfect, right? That's
yeah. I think I'd love to ask you one more question before getting to the rapid fire question round here. You've been in education, still are in education as an educator. You love teaching.
11 years.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow. What would you recommend? I guess this, the courses don't exist yet, but what would you recommend in terms of looking forward and what you know about the industry with AI and I know not specifically just healthcare providers, because that's just where you are now, but what can you recommend for students who are, you know, trying to decide what to major in and trying to, you know, set a direction for themselves for the rest of their lives? What could you recommend for them to study or look to when they're looking at their post-secondary journey? What kind of courses would you recommend they take?
That's a really good question. I get that a lot yearly. I get parents who come up to me as well, you know, who say my kid loves math, but also loves music. And I'm like, take both. Why is this a choice of, they're both mathematical. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you know, pick up some books, man. Like read about why your kid's in love with these things. If they love dance and computer science, I have one student who past student Axel, he's amazing. Just to give you an idea of a pathway, really into computer science, and he goes, I'm a dancer, I'm a choreographer. right? Mm-hmm. And now he turns both passions into one. He took computer science, his choreography, and created a startup called Stage Keep. And I know the Raptors cheerleaders use it, right? Use his choreography, using technology to do choreography, right? And why it wasn't a black and white answer. It wasn't a black and white choice. It wasn't just, I have to do computer science. This is where I'm going, right? I'm going to become a computer scientist. I'm going to work for a large company in computer mm-hmm. science. You know, I'm going to make a lot of money. You should see the salaries that are coming out. This is amazing. Like, you know, it's great. But what happens if you put other spins to it? Dance, music, mm-hmm. arts, mm-hmm. anthropology, law, medical, right? So our chief commercial officer is a PhD in pharmacy, but he worked in Wall Street, right? And got an MBA.
Mm-hmm.
We live in an age where your education could take any form. I'm reading about it now with, I don't know why I just went blank, Nolan, the co-founder of Atari. He's written about a lot of education, and I'm doing that a lot too, reading about the future of education. It goes back to mindset of openness. Mm-hmm. And also, look, if you're not loving it, I'm a law school dropout. I did 2 years of law school before going into my master's of business and doing more marketing and funny things, more law, you know, in business law. It took 2 years to finally say, like, I'm just not good at this. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And it's funny because you fast forward, I worked one of the student groups and two groups. One was a researcher and one was a student group that used artificial intelligence and law, Blue Jay Legal and Ross Intelligence, that came out of courses I supervised, right? So, you know, it's full circle. And I think being afraid of the future, you should be more afraid that if you're not learning and you're not changing your mindset, because the more open you are to what the world can give, but what you can give mm-hmm. is more important.
So it sounds like, if I'm going to summarize that, it sounds like the advice you'd give would be to not be locked in to one, or thinking that you can, you know, if you have two different topics, like what you said, dance and computer science, that they can, that they're not at odds with each other, but rather embracing them both and looking to see where you can maybe layer in learnings from one into the other, because, you know, post-secondary is where you have the luxury of being able to have multidisciplinary learning, where you're all focused on learning, or human learning.
Where we have to all be Leonardo da Vinci's. We have mm-hmm. to think in, you can't tell me a marketer is not also a data scientist,
mm-hmm.
a graphic designer, mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. salesperson,
mm-hmm.
you know, completely selling, you know, I can list tons of things.
Finance, that, you know, if you're community. Starting your own company.
Yeah, an entrepreneur, you know, you know, how many projects have you had to run, and you have to think about multi-levels of thinking, and be a coach, be an HR person, be everything, you know, be Barbie, you know, be Barbie and Ken. I'm just thinking about the movie now. And you got to be everything at times. You got to think about a lot, because you have to hold so much. You have to hold much for the company, you know, and hold so much for the customer themselves.
That's such a great consideration for our listeners as well. I'd love to finish with a wrap around of questions for you. We've been chatting so long. So let's go right into this. No wrong answers at all. Whatever first comes to your gut can be a one word answer, can be a sentence answer. Hell, it could be a paragraph answer if you want. So I'm going to go right into
knowing
this.
Knowing me, man.
Okay. What was your first job?
My mom making me work in a basement.
T-shirt printing.
Slave labor in the basement.
Okay. Okay.
First official job, I was working in a maternity store in high school.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. What was the last thing you watched movie-wise on a streaming service?
I just watched it. I'm watching 30 Coins right now.
What's that on?
I think it's on Crave.
Okay.
It's on Crave. Yeah.
What is a life hack that you'd be willing to share?
Yoga. I stretch every morning. I have degenerative disease in my spine, and which I found out this year. Yoga is stretch every morning. I'm telling you, stretch your back, take care of it, love it. I won't, like, please stretch, and please, if you feel pain, go to physio. Take care of your back.
You said you're a Trekkie, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What was your favorite movie from the recent movies featuring the new cast?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's the first one. But the Cumberbatch one was good too.
Oh, those two are so good.
Yeah.
They're both so good.
Idris.
Idris. That was the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the third one. Yeah. I heard there's another one coming out. So yeah.
I'll watch that.
I don't know. You can put it on and I'll just watch it. Like, you know, it's like background noise. Like, you know, if I ever freak out, I put a Next Gen on and I'm just like, okay, we're good. Let's do some work now.
Yeah, let's get a life lesson in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know.
One last Trekkie question then. Who are the most terrifying opponents of humanity or to the Federation?
Okay. You couldn't say the Borg, but then it was on Voyager. It was, they were the number. They were the weird biological threat. But I think the ones that... that's a hard question.
It's got to be the Borg.
No, I don't think so. I think it's Seven figured that out. You can hack that. You can hack your enemy. I think overall it just every alien had their own evil and had their own good.
You're right. And I probably shouldn't have asked this question as a short answer question.
I know, it's too long. Please fast forward, you know.
Helen, it was such a pleasure to get to know you better, get to know your background, chat about the ins and outs. It's an AI, and get a little nerdy with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I really look forward to if we ever get to connect again. And I know our audience is going to take a lot of value away from this.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.